You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
I should tell a story just before going too far, and I really want to tell it because usually I can talk about metal when I get interviewed, and now, but I don't think I would be here without Despise Icon, because I don't know how many times I saw Despise, Iron Dissonance, Benny the Massacre, that whole crew, that I was friends with them, and I was hanging my Bagman DVD, and the guy that shot the first clip of Despise Icon is Jean-Philippe Bernier, and Alex shown in my movies, and he said, like, those guys are super good, they just need someone like me to tell them how, like, the technical side of filmmaking. And that's how we met Jean-Philippe Bernier, which became our DP.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Matt here from Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. I hope that you had a killer weekend. I most certainly did. This Vox and Hops episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. Heavy Montreal are Montreal's premier metal promoter. And if you are ever in Montreal, trust me when I say this, if you are looking for a killer show to go to, Heavy Montreal will have you covered. I am beyond stoked to have Heavy Montreal behind the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I would love for you to tell a friend about the podcast. To someone in your life that just loves extreme music and loves craft beer, well, you should definitely let them know that the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast exists. You could tell them that there are over 400 episodes where I sit down with some of the world's best metal musicians. We talk all about their lives and music while enjoying craft beers. If you would encourage one of your metalhead beer loving friends to become a brand new Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, today on the podcast, I'm very stoked to be with the filmmaker François Simao. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 447.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today, I'm very stoked to be with François Simao, the director, the actor a little bit, the writer. He makes movies, people. I have not had very many people that make movies on the podcast, but I've watched his movie, and I had watched his movie before I ever met him, and then he turns out that he's friends with Dom Grimao, who I need to get on the podcast, and I feel bad that I haven't yet. He's the guy that plays bass for Cryptopsy when Ollie is busy from The Last Felony. A great dude. François, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Very stoked to be with you. I hope you've been having, from what I know, you've been very busy. That's what I know. And that's because you were like, can we not do it then, but do it later? Because I have a massive project to finish and I'm too stressed about everything. So how does it feel now that you're a little bit more out of the water?
Yeah, we had a super busy year in 23. We shot two full feature. Yeah, it was pretty intense, and we had the chance to do a small festival tour, beginning with Fantasia. Then we went to Fantastic Fest in Texas, and then Sitges in Spain.
Wow!
And even a small one in Sheffield, UK, which is always like, I was the kind of guy that didn't need to travel or thought that didn't need to travel. I was fine at home. But I was so wrong. It's like traveling is amazing. And I'm kind of jealous of you guys, like going everywhere in the world. Like we only do a couple dates here and there. And like I would have loved to go to
Saudi Arabia is where you're thinking. Yeah. It's the number one question that I get from people now. It's unbelievable how often I get talked about that. It's cool that you get to do that. I was thinking about, I was writing down my questions and I was like, you know, did you ever think about making it? And then I imagine myself getting questioned that, and I'm like, that's a shit question. Let's not ask that question, because we both sort of made it, but in different spheres. And it's not like anything that you like. It's like a series of like happy accidents that lead you to somewhere. There's no definitive path to anything.
Yeah, and it's mostly about passion, because
correct.
I don't know about you, but when I began, it was just for fun. Like we were making movies with friends. I wouldn't thought that it would like changed my life forever. But yeah, we just began having fun. We shot a movie in 2004, like a short, like a super DIY. Maybe the hardcore old school fan.
We'll find it on like the internet somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a collective called RKSS, but like it stands for Roadkill Superstar, which was kind of our death metal name, but we had to change it to make it a little bit cleaner. But in 2004, it was the movie was called Bagman, and it was just like for a small festival in Montreal called Festival Espace, and we wanted to blow the people's mind. And we didn't think it would go further than that. But at that time, I think there was not even YouTube yet. It was called Google Video. And somebody, not us, but somebody put it on the internet. And it got like maybe 1 million views.
Holy shit. Just like that. One of those things that happen.
Yeah. And even for a DIY short, the short was dubbed in German also. It was kind of viral.
You can't make this shit up. It's like you were a MySpace band almost.
Yeah, kind of. So we thought that with that success that we would be able to make the feature of that movie, but we were trying to do it in French, and at that time it was super hard to get the financing to do a horror, like a full on gore slasher. And we tried for 10 years to make that movie, but like, I don't know if it's the same thing, but the first movie, like your first short will be shit and your first script will be shit too.
But yeah, you have to make it. Yeah.
Yeah. You learn from your mistake. And like, I'm sure if I read the script that we wrote for the Bagman feature, it would be like, atrocious to
dude, even to this day, my first drafts for the new Cryptopsy record are on this computer somewhere, and they're shit. But you gotta write something in order to make something. You have to start, and you have to complete that first draft of anything, whether it be a movie, a script, lyrics, a song, and then you can fix it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's like I said, we did a lot of more shorts. Actually, it's a kind of a cool story, because at that time I was passing that short at the Fofon Electric, like it was a demo tape, like a
unbelievable. You're so metal. I love it. Let's build up to all of that. This is Vox and Hops. It's all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives and music while sharing craft beers. What are you drinking on your side tonight, François?
Oh shit! What am I drinking? I'm not a huge connoisseur, probably like you.
You don't have a problem like me, is
it? Well, I do like beer, like the next guy. But when I went to Prague, I fell in love with Pilsner, and ever since then, that's my favorite drink.
Hell yes!
And I did ask to. I went to Les Bières du Monde, and I asked, "What's your best Pilsner?" So he handed me this one.
Oh, Herman. Yeah, Herman are really underrated hype. I like them very much. And my friend that runs the craft beer store that I go to, called Kevin, called La Canette Villerie, he loves them. And I've had a bunch of their products, and that one is delicious. I think I've had that one. On my side, I'm drinking, like I have been for the past few episodes, in case people are listening to these back-to-back, Kanawake Brewing. This is their Hard Day's Work. It's an ESB. It is 5%. Shout out to my friend Drew that runs Kanawake Brewing. Hooked me up with this beer, and I'm a big fan of his stuff, so I'm going to crack it open and pour it out. As I do that, I would love to hear about your very first beer.
Oh, my very first beer. Oh, shit. I don't think it's nothing special. It's probably
no. They tend to not be. No,
like a Molson Labatt Blue shit beer. But I didn't have an older brother, but I did have an older cousin. And when we were 13 years old, he was old enough to buy beer. And
wow, okay,
yeah,
he was.
I got
tall.
My first one. Yeah.
That's and cool.
He's actually the same cousin that he was really into grunge music at that time. And that's when I got the hook and I became a music fan. You know?
So he gave you your first beer. He got you into extreme music.
Well, it wasn't that extreme.
No, but like, it's the gateway. It's the gateway towards extremity.
Yeah, I learned about Nine Inch Nail and Soundgarden, Smashing Pumpkins, Alice in Chains, all that Tool.
Yes,
and, hell yes. Nine Inch Nail was the band that, like, I was hooked. And after that, I was like, oh my God, that's disgusting. I like it. I want more.
I feel uncomfortable and it's wonderful.
Yeah. And after that, I was seeking like the most violent music, but at different
intervals. Step. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did have a new metal phase. I don't want to talk it.
I've talked about it so much in the past weeks. I've been doing a bunch of episodes recently, and it comes up on every episode that I'm a new metal child and that I still listen to it. So there's no shame here Vox and Hops about new metal, and new metal is back.
I like early Deftones.
Same.
Yep.
100%.
Biohazard led me to hardcore music. And then metalcore, then deathcore, and then brutal death, and yeah. And now I'm maybe older, and I listen to more like stoner or ground black metal. I didn't used to like it, but now I'm opening my.
That's good. That's good. It's good as we get older to open our horizons. Yes.
Yeah, and sorry if my English is.
No, you're wonderful. Like, you're killing
it's a bit
it.
Rusty, but. Usually beer helped until it doesn't.
That is true. It loosens up our inhibitions, but then all of a sudden we're not as understandable as we think we are.
Yeah.
Talking about when I speak in French. Typically, I would ask about the soundtrack of your youth, but you just smashed through it. And I want to sort of like take all my typical questions and spin them towards being a filmmaker. So talk to me about the movies that you grew up watching that were not your choices to watch. Were there any, like, your parents' favorite, or your parents' or your guardians' favorite movies that they shared with you when you were growing up that sort of still stayed with you today?
Oh, my God. Like, my parents was not really into music. Like, they were listening to radio, maybe Pink Floyd and Armonium here and there.
Hell yeah.
But my father, like, showed me movies, very violent movies, when I was way too young.
Is there something that, like, marked you? Like, for myself, I remember watching so many weird movies with my dad, yeah.
I still love to this day RoboCop, Total Recall.
Yes.
Predator, Commando. I remember he lied to my mom to bring me to the cinema, and we were supposed to watch, a cartoon. But he bring me to Terminator 2.
Terminator 2, no way, in the cinema. That is awesome.
And he was like telling me to like close my eyes at certain scenes, like the...
Yeah.
And of course I was...
Of course.
Still watching. But yeah, that, like thinking about it, it's his fault. If I'm a filmmaker now, like
that's good. That's awesome. Did your mother ever come around or ever discover or find out? Unless she will watch this and find out that he did not take you to see that cartoon movie.
But she passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So, but she my mother was sick. She got, I don't know what it was in English, sclerosis en plaques.
Multiple sclerosis. Yeah.
So I didn't show her the movies I was making at some point because
it was too heavy.
Too heavy. I remember at a Christmas party with the whole family. They wanted to see what I was doing. You're making some movies. Can we see it? And it was Bagman. And I remember just seeing my grandmother just watching the corner and not the TV. And
my gosh,
they were like, yeah.
We're proud of you, sort of, and also very worried.
Yeah. But it was always a, like, a, not a like my father was like, it's fun, like to have a passion. It's okay to have a passion, but at some point you need a real job. And because we were trying to make a feature for the longest time, and at some point we did switch in English, and that's when we had multiple doors that open, and we finally were able to do our first feature. And when my father learned that we got Michael Ironside as the main villain, that's when he was like, "Oh, okay,
you're serious. Huh? You're a real director now." I know that guy's face and name.
Yeah, well, he's the one that showed me the Total Recall.
So. Exactly. Unbelievable. Let's move forward to were you a kid? Were you that kid that had the video camera and were always recording stuff like the Goldbergs, this TV show? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Anyways, or was it a group of friends that just became something out of shits and giggles? How did it all just really the start of it? Like bands start because you want to start a band and I play bass, you play, but making a movie or a group of people and you're all sort of just working together at multiple jobs, but the same job.
Yeah, well, we were hanging out in the video store all the time, like watching all the horror section. I remember.
Were you working there or was it a...
No, but we, at that time, it was with Anouk, Johan, and Jonathan Prévost, which were Jonathan was my friend in school, and then I met Anouk at the animation school in the Cégep du Montréal, and they told me we did the same thing, but we used to spend the whole week watching horror movie at the site. There was a store called Vidéogie at Saint-Eustache.
Are you from Saint-Eustache?
I'm from Laval.
No so. Way. Okay. from Laval West.
I was in Vimont, which is a. But I did move to Saint-Eustache for the biggest part of my life.
Really? Because I'm from Two Mountains.
Oh shit!
Yeah, so I know Vidéogie. That's why I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Yeah, that's cool.
Awesome.
Okay. Back to the interview.
Le Monde Petit. Yeah,
to very, very small.
So, yeah, you could rent seven horror movies for 7 days for $7.
Exactly.
Or
yeah.
Something like that.
It smelled like popcorn. So
that's how it began. I remember seeing Brain Dead, which.
Yeah.
That movie, I got the spark in my brains. Come, I want to do this. It seems like super fun to make. And
what was it about the horror and the gore? Is it the same thing about the extremity and extreme death metal and the cover art? What was it about horror that just captured you so much back then?
I don't know. I wasn't into extreme,
not the torture weird stuff.
No,
snuff stuff.
I love my gore that is funny and you have a good time. And it's a party movie. Not the one that shock you, but yeah, Peter Jackson's Brain Dead was and Bad Taste, his earlier movie, his first one. I remember watching everything about
the making of
every making of, and we starting to just have fun with a vacation camera, a very shitty one.
Yeah,
and we were doing everything the makeup, the effects, the acting, the directing, the filming.
Wow.
We didn't know anything about filmmaking. I didn't know a DOP, a photography.
Yeah.
Didn't know shit about that.
Just pure passion and weekends and summers between CGEP or.
Yeah. The first shorts we made, At the beginning, we didn't finish them, and at some point, we're like, "All right, we'll make one, we'll finish it, and then we'll try to show it to our friends." We did it, and it became a short called "Deux Morts," which is two
deaths,
two dead,
yeah,
two dead, and it was like 45 minutes long. It was
so long or short.
Well, that's the first mistake you do. Like, it's way too long. If you shot it, doesn't mean you need it. You can cut it. But the gore was fun. We had that sense of rhythm, like in the action.
Nice. The timing. You had that sense. The understanding of how to pace an action scene.
And we met with I remember with Jared Mann and Carniard, which they both had Festival Space and Vitesse Lumière. We were also a huge fan of Fantasia Festival.
I have a whole thing. I wrote Fantasia down here. Yeah.
Cool. But it was mainly our film school because we were there at the very beginning and we used to watch every movie. So, yeah, we never expected to one day present a movie at...
It's so cool. It's so, so cool. Talk to me about, and I'm sure that you've learned like and made this way better, but do you remember the first recipe that you made for blood?
First recipe? Oh, yeah. We didn't go too far. The first one was just tomato juice, which sucks when you have it in your eyes and smells super bad.
Yes.
I don't recommend it at all. And then at some point, we finally had a good recipe with chocolate syrup, corn syrup and red
food coloring. Yeah,
food coloring. And was way, way better. But sometimes it's bad when you're outside because you have problem with bees and.
Oh shit! Okay, yeah.
But besides that, I just can't drink quick anymore. Like, I just can't. But yeah, that's how we begin.
That's amazing, man. And then, like, you get the viral hit, and it gets uploaded to Google Video. And now, of course, you guys are not getting any... I guess at that time, nothing was being monetized either, so you guys weren't getting any kickback for the viralness of it all.
Oh, yeah. Not at all. But we at that time, we wanted to sell DVDs.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
And we were dumb to not put it ourselves on the net.
Yeah.
Because we just didn't understand
where everything was headed, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So you were mentioning that you had a lot of struggles until you switched to English. So talk to me about what's happening in Quebec and the funding there. And it not falling into horror. Why does Quebec not support horror movies back in the 2000s, whereas now they seem to be a little bit more into it because there's a few more coming out from what I'm seeing, at least?
I don't know. It's here in Quebec, it's always like that kind of cinema was seen as a...
Lower form of
art, like B-movies. It's not real cinema. Here, we... like... the money that the subsidies was giving to make movies was mainly for dramas and arts house and nothing just for entertaining and or something more American if you want. But yeah, and I, like I said, maybe our script was bad at that time and we did get better at it. So
they didn't
I
have
don't want
the heart.
To shit on them because, yeah, we
they didn't have the heart to tell you that it was the script, but we have no funds.
But still, the small festival motivated us to continue. And at one point we were switching to English and I should tell a story just before going too far. And I really want to tell it because usually I can talk about metal when I get interviewed, and now I'm sure you will appreciate
the perfect platform.
But I don't think I would be here without Despise Icon.
Really?
Because I was hanging out with them. Like, I love the whole scene. Like, I don't know how many times I saw Despise, Iron Dissonance, Benny the Massacre, that whole crew. That I was friends with them, and I was hanging my Bagman DVD, and the the guy that shot one of the first, like the first clip of the Spies Icon is Jean-Philippe Bernier and Alex shown in my movies. And he said, like, those guys are super good. They just need someone like me to tell them how, like, how to the technical side of filmmaking. And that's how we met Jean-Philippe Bernier, which became our DP. And also he did the music. Like, it was the first time that we finally have original music, because like Bagman was just music that we not stole, but we didn't have the right to.
It was before the internet, you know. So
yeah. But now you can't do that.
No, you can't do that. You get slapped on the wrist right away.
Yeah. So yeah, that's
cool. That's the cool for. Shout out to Alex Ariang, because he's awesome and I love him. And it's cool that he helped you move along and everything. You never thought about getting into that world of making music videos? It was not, you guys never made one or thought about making one or got approached about making one?
Yeah, there was a lot of talk, I think, for a Benny the Massacre clip and a Iron Dissonance clip, I think. But it never got made. But we did a clip for Le Matos, which is Jean-Philippe's band, and also I was there for the Despise in the Arm of Perdition. I was the art director on that clip, and I used to pour water on the drum, and it was so freezing.
Oh yeah, for the yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah,
so it was a. It was a cool experience, but my God, it was so freezing. It was insane.
We suffer for our art is what we do.
Yep.
So everything's building up. It keeps happening. You switch to English. You get all this funding. You make a movie. At what point, and I'm going to ask this question at this point, at what point did you realize Turbo Kid was a fucking hit?
Well, that's another thing. Do you know Jason Eisner that did a movie called Hobo with a Shotgun?
I do. Yeah.
He's the one that pushed us, he told us there's a competition called ABCs of Death.
Yeah.
And they have, like, every letter will be a short film, and they have the T, the letter T, for the public. And you guys absolutely need to do one for that contest. So we were all pumped. We were at Fantasia when we met him, and I remember in the car going back home, we were already brainstorming, and that's how we came up with the idea for Turbo Kid, which was basically a low-budget Mad Max.
100%, yes.
We'll use BMX bikes.
Is that because, I have a question about that, is that because of Rad? Did you guys watch Rad as a kid?
Yeah. Well, Rad, BMX Bandit, all the Italian ripoff of Mad Max, which I love. It was made...
I didn't see that one, no.
Oh, The New Barbarians is...
Okay.
You need to watch it with friends and a couple of beers.
Okay, I'm
it's
in.
It's not like...
It's not fine cinema, but it's a good time.
They are very cheesy.
But definitely, like, the whole kickoff of the movie, I was watching it last night, and I was like, damn, this makes me think of Rad with that montage. The song, the vibe, the music is cool. It hits... It reminds me of, like, Survive... that synth wave rock stuff. So the movie's a hit. You guys do so many, you win a bunch of like festivals. We won a bunch of awards too, which I wrote down somewhere, but you won a bunch of awards. South by Southwest, you won, which is crazy. Fantasia, you won. Just crazy to grow up studying there. And then you present a movie there, you win there. And then all of this is happening and it's all over and finished. Was there a moment of, oh my God, what are we going to do next? Was there like that fear of a follow-up, which happens to bands? I'm wondering if it happens to directors.
Yeah. Well, at that point, we were just like stunned. The movie premiere in Sundance. In Park City, which was insane. And because of that, Hollywood was interested by us, and we got agent and manager.
crazy.
And the whole thing.
You're like, I just want to hang out with my friends and make movies and laugh and have fun. And here we are with agents.
Yeah, and they were like, come down in L.A. You'll make the tour of the studios. And met everybody. And yeah, they were like, awesome, we love Turbo Kid. So what's next? Do you have another script? So Jason Eisner told us, you need to have a script ready. So we try to have one. The matter of fact, you need to have a multiple project, because every movie that gets the green light,
20
every
don't.
Indie movie, yeah. It's a miracle. So if you put your eggs in the same basket, it's very risky. And
so you have multiple done now. You did two last year. You have three before that and more. But that means you have like 50 for real, like ideas.
not 50, but maybe more than five. But in between 5 and 10s, that's a point in a different state
of development.
Of development. Yeah, and we met someone in LA that saw Turbo Kid, and like, I don't know if you know the saying in LA, in Hollywood, everyone have a script.
Yeah.
So this guy Matt had a script, and he pitched the idea to us, which was a Goonies that had a very dark ending, and we were kind of, oh, can please tell us more. And yeah, we said yes to that project, and we didn't know that it would be that project that would have the green light. I don't know.
So what movie that became Summer of 84?
Yep. And it was like the whole thing just like maybe a couple of weeks before going into Vancouver to shoot the movie. We learned about Netflix Stranger Things, and we're like, no, yeah. They did it first. So it was a curse and a blessing at the same time, because it shows the financier and the distributor that's what the people want.
Like, yeah, you're definitely like, on the right. Wavelengths of what audience wants. There's definitely something that I've been noticing, and I don't know if I didn't see We Are Zombies yet, so I can't talk about it or know about it. I'm imagining maybe it is, and I hope I'm on the right idea here, is that there's a lot of like tinges of nostalgia in your movies, and that's what's happening right now in the world. You know,
we're still kids at heart, and that's why in Turbo Kid, like we not only have reference and life. It's a love letter to our childhood, and not just movies, also video games or a cartoon that we were watching with way too sugary cereal.
Yes.
When we were kids in our PJs. So, and yeah, Summer was right into the same alley. It was the most serious movie we did, which I was a bit nervous, because our fan was used to our humor, and but we didn't want to do the same thing over and over again, and we wanted to show that we can evolve and make different kind of movies. And now it's been 5 years since the release of Summer of 84, and it's one of the most watched movies on Shudder as we speak.
That's amazing, dude. Yeah, so you did something right. You did something right.
Even with all the call, like, it's a Stranger Thing ripoff.
I feel a sore spot here.
But now it did find his public. And I did watch the first season of Stranger Thing. I was like, okay, it's not kind of the... Yes, we have 80s kids on bikes. But besides that, we're not going
in the same direction. Yeah.
Tropes. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hopsins? I just want to take a little moment about Cryptopsy's upcoming tours. That's right, I'm talking about the Scream of Perseverance tour and our headliner dates that coincide with that tour called As Summer Burns. The Scream of Perseverance tour is kicking off at the end of May and runs all the way until the end of June. We are supporting the mighty Death to All. We are going all over the United States. and we are hitting some of Canada. So excited to be honoring the legendary music of death alongside amazing musicians that performed on these albums. Even more stoked to be doing some headliner dates in some cities that I've actually never played in. If you are planning to come to any of these shows, you should definitely grab your tickets by going to voxandhops.com/summer, and you will be able to grab all of your tickets there. That's voxandhops.com/summer. Do it, people. Come hang out with me. Enjoy life, metal, and craft beer in your hometown. Come to a show. We're going to have a great time. Now, enough about all of that. Let's get back to the episode.
Talk to me about, there's a lot of movies, you're a metalhead, obviously. There's a lot of movies being made right now about metalheads. And I feel like you haven't done that yet. What do you think about all these movies that have been made? I wanted to write down the names, but I did it before. I have Lords of Chaos in my head, but that is not the right one because that's about something else. But it's, you know what
is
I mean.
Is it Deadgasm?
Yes, that's one as an example. And then there's another one that Netflix made, which was actually pretty good, about a guy in high school forming a band. And so you guys have not made like a metal-esque themed. Stranger Things had the metal dude in it. Where he plays the Metallica riff and on the top of something, and it was everywhere. So this also falls into that, like, hitting the wavelengths. But you guys haven't hit that yet. And is there a reason for that, or is it something you want to do in the future, like a band movie or something?
I would love to. I don't know. Maybe we should, like, we need to write it ourselves, I think. Because
it has to come from someone. You have to know it.
Yeah, it needs to come from the heart, and which being a metalhead is also like,
it's about passion.
I knew I was either going to make cinema or music, and I did have a band at some point.
Really, but, what instrument did you play?
Oh, I was the singer.
Oh, very cool.
I wasn't gifted. Like, I'm not, and I have asthma as well.
Oh no. You can get around that.
But it was in high school. We were mainly drinking beers and we have more pictures of the band that we had songs.
See, you're ahead of your time. See, now you would be successful.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, it's all about branding and image.
But I was good with the set, like, I could hear a melody and I could recreate it. I didn't know what notes I was doing, but I had a good ear. But besides that, now I'm way too far in the cinema path. So I'll continue.
You
that
continue
way.
Down that road. Did you play a show?
Just in high school. Not in it was fun.
You remember the show? Do you remember, were you ready? Was the band ready? Do you remember the feeling before getting on? And how close was that feeling to you stepping on stage at Fantasia and presenting Turbo Kid?
Yeah. I'm still a shy guy, but I don't know. I like having fun, and I sometimes, like, I'm shy, but I just say fuck it, and I go on stage, and I do my best, and whatever happens, happens. So, I guess it was the same mindset. And now that I went, we did so many festivals, like, I'm kind of a
seasoned veteran.
Yeah. I don't mind. I need to be prepared in my head before. Like, I have to be careful not to be too tipsy.
Yes, that totally works against us. But if you're right, just in the right pocket, and you turn it on, it's really fun to stand in front of a crowd of people and talk to them and animate them.
Yeah, and since we're I'm not alone. We're three directors, so if I stumble or I'm struggling and searching
someone
my
picks
words
you up,
in English,
someone picks it up for you.
Johan will help me, or Anouk will help me, and we're, I don't know, we developed that that hive mind, if you like.
That's interesting. Now, on that subject of working with other people, Is that difficult, or is it something you just mentioned that it's easier because they pick up when you're stumbling? Is that something that happens when you're actually working on the movies, writing the movies, putting the movies together? And is it ever a time, and if they're listening or watching this, I'm not trying to cause shit. Is there ever a moment where it would be easier if you were alone?
Like, everybody was... like, it's the first question we have every time. Like,
really? Oh, this is directors. The shit question. Oh, I'm sorry. No, so no, at least I'm 38 minutes in before I asked it, at least.
It's so unusual to have three directors, and usually we have, how is it possible? And how are you still friends? But I don't know, for us, like I said at the beginning, we started that way. We wanted to make movies... with our friends and just have fun, and we like at the beginning we were doing everything, so for us it's just normal. We always work that way. We do argue, but it's,
yeah, but it's normal for people to argue. It's normal for people to argue. You should argue. If you don't argue, it'd be weird.
Yeah, and it's mainly when we write, so when we and we learn a long time ago to put your ego on the side. And when you pitch an idea, it's not your idea. It's an idea, and
that's
together
good.
We'll pick the best one.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. No, that's a good way to approaching pitching things. It's not your idea. Don't come attached and don't be so defensive about an idea that you came up with. It's an idea.
If that idea that you like is not chosen.
It doesn't matter. Move on to the next one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just an idea. It's like a riff or in anything. Cryptopsy, have you gotten over that? Chris loves to tell us how much we suck. the next question that you must hate getting, and I'm going to ask you it, is is there going to be, are you working on, and when is Turbo Kid number 2 coming? Does it need a sequel is another follow-up question. And, you know, sometimes it's best to let people want something.
Yeah, well, what? We know the fans want it really bad, and it's our baby. We love that world. I think it's I don't want to compare it to like an IP like Star Wars, but we could expand that world in a sequel, or we have a video game that will come out pretty soon.
That's funny. I was going to ask that. Yeah.
Yeah, and we wanted, it's a small company, a very cool company called Outer Mind in Montreal.
Very good.
And we told them, like, we want something, like, we're huge geek. We play video game all the time. And we want a game that we'll be proud of, and we would want to play ourselves.
Yeah, no, of course, yeah.
Not just an app for promotion. So yeah. they went all in.
Amazing.
I just received a build to test it, so I'm very I can't wait to play it. But yeah, I can't say the date, but it's gonna be released at the beginning, like the first quarter of this year. So
oh shit, so it's coming.
It's pretty soon.
Very very cool.
And then yes, there's a script for the sequel. We have to do another pass, and then. Cross our fingers that Telefilm Canada and Sodec will choose this project and
yes.
Be financed by our tax money.
Very, no, it's good. I'll pay my taxes if I can watch a sequel. What about this? You mentioned it before, finding out that Netflix was pitching Stranger Things or was putting out Stranger Things as you guys were doing Summer of 84. Would it ever be something realistic or a goal of yours to get onto a streaming service to have them finance something in the future for you, like a TV series hypothetically or a movie?
Yeah, we're super open to we made 4 feature, but we would sure like to try TV, which is a format that I didn't think I would like to work with, but since shows like Breaking Bad and True Detective and
yeah,
they like it's awesome. It's
deep, real cinema at this point, and the scripts are always amazing. And there's a real like hole. I don't see that there's a TV show that's like super gory, but also funny. And that's something that you guys really hit. And I feel like it's very popular right now. The comedy horror. It like balances itself. Like, I think like, what's it? Shaun of the Dead or something. It was like probably my first foray into very cheeky, funny British humor, but it was also gory. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Shaun of the Dead is awesome. Yeah. It's one of my favorite zombie movie. For sure. And yeah.
So I think that there's definitely a market and a hole missing for a TV show with that type of humor with the gore in it.
It's harder to get money for that type of...
Because it's so violent? It's too niche?
It's too niche. It's not everybody... Like, it's not...
Everybody's cup of tea.
Like, gory horror comedy. It's super rare that you'll have a movie that will be mainstream. It's usually horror, contained horror, like a cool concept that you can...
Yeah.
Like at very few location, so it doesn't cost too much money. And if you have a huge fight at the end with tons of gore, for sure it's
something a plus.
That costs a lot of money.
Interesting.
And a lot of time.
Okay. It's so foreign to me. It's so different than compared
to. You need to be passionate to do that. Like, we don't do it for money, obviously. And I'm sure you can draw very similar to extreme music.
Yeah, totally.
We don't do it for money.
We do it because we like it, and it's fun, and it's interesting, and it's a way of expressing ourselves. I love it very, very, very much. I'm proud of you. I think it's really cool that you've accomplished this much from going to Video G and renting those seven horror movies in that basement. And it smelled like popcorn in there all the time because they had that popcorn machine. It was...
Oh, yeah. And at some point, they
closed.
They all died.
And became a paint store. But
yeah, and you could... Like, we were too late, but every cool horror movie was sold.
Yeah.
When they, yeah.
Yeah, you so can go in and, like, buy up their cassettes because it was closing.
Man, that whole, like, the basement was a...
It was crazy.
It was insane.
I had to, like, sweet talk my dad to bring me over every once in a while. sorry. I love this segment that I'm going to bring up right now. It's called Fight the Hops. It's where I ask my guests a very short-term goal, something that you're hoping to accomplish within the next month or two. What are you doing right now to fight the hops?
I'm trying to not spend too much time on video games and like
it's market research though.
yeah. I can try to like, no, I'm not wasting my time. I'm doing research. But yeah, we need to find like I said, we just finished two movies, which is going to be released this year. I don't know when.
That's crazy.
It's when you release a movie, it's when you need to, we will have the spotlight on us. So we need to get another project going as soon as possible.
Wow. There's never like a moment of lull where you could just rest.
Well, we could, but we don't have a... I quit my day job to do Turbo Kid.
Yeah,
and so
really?
Far,
wow.
I didn't go back.
Wow, so that's like 10 years.
Yep.
Wow.
So if I want to eat, I need to I need to make another one.
Interesting.
So that's super. That's the thing. We have a very interesting and crazy life. And a lot stressful, but being able to travel around the world with our art and seeing the fans that like are so happy to see us and just to drink beer with them and
talk about horror movies.
Yeah, it's the best pay. It's the real pay.
Hell yes, so, man! I like that. And you know what? I always get asked this question. I wonder if it's different. Let me like the parallel that we have here. People always like, where's your favorite place to play? And I always say the crowds are always the same. When you hit Graves of the Father, they're gonna fucking
is it
move.
Though?
I find the crowds, but is it different? I find 100% Japan, they're much more quiet. I'll mention that. But when the pit starts, the pit's the same. So for yourself, when you screen in different countries, have you noticed a difference?
Like, Fantasia is one of the best crowd in the world.
The best, yeah.
Like, every screening is a full-on party. There's some place in the world that are like that.
It's just because we're spoiled. Because we're from here.
Maybe. I can say the same thing. I saw metal show, I don't know where, but maybe an example. When we were shooting in Vancouver, I did see every metal show that was
coming through
in Van City at that time.
Really?
And
that's so
I
cool.
Remember, I wish it was in Montreal because the pit would be way more insane.
Oh, okay.
But I guess it depends on the...
Maybe it's from my perspective standing out front.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I know we're very lucky here in Quebec because even if there's a huge snowstorm,
they're gonna
people
go.
Will still show up.
Yes, we will, because we're used to it. It's like today. We had wonderful weather today. We still all went to work. Nothing was canceled.
Yeah.
Well, good for you taking 10 years of your life and accomplishing your dreams and smashing through it and finishing one project and knowing that you can't just sit on your ass and play video games, even if it is your video game for your movie that you have to try out. You still have to be creative and have those 2, 3, 5 other projects ready to go because people are going to ask you what's up next.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll sleep when we're dead.
Hell yes. Well, I hope that you come to a point where there can be breaks, and I hope that you do take breaks because it's important for mental health and listen to your bodies. And if you do need a break, I encourage you guys to take a break. I like making collabs. I've made a bunch of collabs with Kanawake Brewing. I've released 80 beers over the past 5 years with the podcast. I've done some stuff for Cryptopsy.
Wow.
I love it. Making beers is my thing. If you were to do something like a piece of merchandise, maybe you've already done it, like a very cool Turbo Kid merchandise or something for yourself, what would be the perfect collab?
Can we have a Turbo Kid beer?
I'm sure that you can have a Turbo Kid beer. That's an easy thing to get done. Any brewers that are listening to this that want to make a Turbo Kid beer, Francois is interested. So that it's as easy
hell
as
yeah,
that.
Hell yeah.
Watch. I'll write you when they say something. That'd be cool. What kind of beer would it be? What would you want? A Pilsner? A Czech Pilsner?
I will sure want my Pilsner.
What did they drink in the movie? When he goes to the bar at the beginning, what are they drinking? It should be something thematically based upon that. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Well, the... like very shitty water that they are drinking. I guess the Bagu is drinking alcohol, like a very strong,
like distilled
moonshine.
Something. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
We can think of something. Then we can work on that'd be cool if you can make a Turbo Kid beer. I'm sure people would like to see that.
And I'm sure Johan is it's the other one.
Yep.
My friend, the tall, bald guy, is a huge beer drinker, so
okay, well let's do it, people. Hit me up, and if you want to make a Turbo Kid beer, Francois, Joanne, and everyone are into it, so let's do that. I have one last question to wrap this up. It is the classic Vox and Hops wrap-up question. Now, it probably doesn't happen to you very often because you can't rest, and you finished 2 movies last year, and you're already thinking about the next 3 or 4. But every once in a while, hypothetically, when you wrap up and you say, that's a wrap, and you know the movie's over, what is your hangover cure?
Oh, my hangover cure. Shit. Maybe a shower and a Bloody Caesar?
Yes. The Bloody Caesars come around. The showers, that's something I do. And more as I've gotten older, I don't know if it's like, do we drink the water? I find I drink more water in the shower when I'm hungover.
I think it's just in our head. I feel so dirty.
What did I do to myself? Hell but, yes.
When we were in Korea, I did party way too much, and the festival, like the nice people, the festival gave me a small can of a hangover cure
and?
With a Korean doctor.
You know it's good when.
Yeah, and I think it did work.
Wow, okay. What was in it? Do you know, or was it just as a mystery ingredients?
A mystery brew. Like a... It tasted funny, but I guess... I'm not sure I want to know what's in it.
No, not now. Well, now it's okay,
when I think about it.
That's amazing.
But if ever in Korea, look out for a hangover cure with a...
The doctor.
Happy doctor. Yeah.
Hell yes. Francois, thank you so much for taking the time talking to me about your life, about making movies, a little bit about beer. People, go check out his movies. Turbo Kid, Summer of 84, We Are Zombies. There's two more on the way. Incredible.
Well, the other one is called Wake Up, which is a slasher set in IKEA.
Oh, that's already going to IKEA is my nightmare, so this is great.
So be on the lookout for both We Are Zombie and Wake Up.
Hell yes. Okay, well, I hope you have a great night. Thank you so much. This is great. Cheers.
Hey, thank you. Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, this was an awesome conversation. I have really not had that many filmmakers on the podcast, and that is something that I want to change, because I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but I absolutely love movies and television, and I do tend to find enough time to watch a bunch of stuff, such as Turbo Kid, and I loved that when it came out, and I totally am very stoked that a guy that grew up in the town over from me in St. Eustache is now a renowned filmmaker that has released multiple movies. I am making it my mandate to watch the rest of your movies, Francois. He's a metalhead, people. He makes great movies. If you have not checked out Turbo Kid or any of his other movies, please do so. I have put the link to his IMDb in the description of this podcast. Go and check them out. Support this metalhead movie maker. I think it's goddamn awesome. Thank you, Francois, for being you, and keep up the killer work. Now, if you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week that contains all of the details of everything that has happened in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. You will get to see which episodes I dropped recently. You will also get to see which episodes I have coming up. You will get to hear about any projects I have in the works for the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, and you will also be up updated on whatever I got going on with Cryptopsy. That's right. Cryptopsy, we just dropped our brand new album back in September of 2023, and we are doing a whole bunch of stuff. We are planning a massive 2024, starting with that European tour, the Unquestionable Blasphemy tour with Atheists that's coming up at the end of February. It's running all across Europe until the end of March. You also get to see which albums the Vox and Hops album review crew have reviewed recently, and you will get to see which albums Jerry Monk, Vox and Hops' metal architect, has added to the Brutal Awakenings playlist. There's always a lot of stuff going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, and I hate when you miss a single thing, so do me a favor and sign up to the mailing list. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a killer rest of the week. I will be back next week with yet another episode on Tuesday, but until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
The number you have reached is 100.7 WMNS.
It wasn't just a radio station, it was a lifestyle.
Cleveland is a rock and roll city for sure.
I feel like struggles.
Get down!
The Wrath of the Buzzard. WMNS. Cleveland.
The rise and fall of one of the most iconic radio stations in America. Profiles. The Wrath of the Buzzard. PROH Files. Subscribe now wherever you get podcasts.